Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of What Happens After I Do, a podcast about love, relationships, and everything that happens after you say I do. I'm Erica.
And as always, I am her husband, Marcus.
And today we will discuss the topic that everyone has asked us about and wants to know about and has questions about.
Babies.
When will we have them? What are we doing about it? Why haven't we had them? Are we doing the sex to make them? What is happening with babies? Okay, so let's get into it.
So.
Okay, so.
Start us off, baby.
Start us off. Okay, so I, for a very long time, didn't want any more children. I thought one was enough. He was more than enough to handle. And honestly, I never made the connection with anyone that I felt like I wanted to have children with until I met my husband, Marcus.
Which is me.
He definitely changed my mindset. Something clicked in me and I felt that thing that I guess people feel when they want to procreate with another human being, where you just feel like this depth of connection and you just want to create something that comes from both of you. So he's the first person I have ever felt that with. And I think that when, I don't know if you'd ever thought about having children.
I'd thought about it, but never with the seriousness that I had with you. I never really like thought about it in a realistic sense. Like, right. You know, you date someone, you're like, oh my God, that's cute babies, blah, blah, blah. But never right. Like
for this, realsies.
You never for realsies.
Right. So from the beginning, we weren't actively trying. Like we didn't say, let's make a baby.
Let's just say we weren't actively trying to prevent it either.
Right. We were not trying to prevent it. But then I think I realized after a few months, like, hey, we're doing a lot of the sex and nothing's happening. So let me give you some backstory. So I was diagnosed years ago with a condition called polycystic ovarian syndrome, PCOS. PCOS is a hormone issue. It affects your endocrine system and it affects fertility, weight gain, mood, things like that. Irregular periods, stuff like that. I never had those problems, but infertility seems to be an issue. And I had prevented or tried to prevent pregnancy as much as I could in the past. So, and I have been pregnant in the past, so I didn't think that it would affect me. But in trying, I have found that it wasn't working. So, we discussed it and I think we got to a place where we got really excited about having a baby and we're picking out names and we're hypothesizing and doing all those things. And I decided that I wanted to actively try because a big concern of mine was age. I'm 10 years older than Marcus. I'm approaching 40. And I know that the older you are, or pretty much anything after 35 is considered a geriatric pregnancy and could be high risk. And, you know, I just didn't, my hope is to have, if I have a baby, is to have a healthy baby. And I didn't want to put my child in any more danger than it needed to be. So I figured let's get the ball rolling. So I decided to go see a specialist. We both did. We got all of Marcus's bits and pieces checked out. Everything was A-okay. Mm-hmm. We got all my bits and pieces checked out. Everything was A-okay. So my OBGYN decided to put me on fertility treatments. And I started those treatments, I want to say four or five months ago. And still, we continue to try. And no pregnancy. Somewhere in between there, I think we had a conversation. And there was a lot of fear on your end.
Yes, a lot.
A lot of fear. So we decided to stop fertility treatments and just let be whatever's going to be.
Yeah.
We haven't stopped having sex au naturel. We don't use protection, we don't use contraception. And we've sort of left it alone. And, you know, we don't plan for it, but we don't plan against it. If it happens, it happens. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. And I've sort of made my peace with that. So that is sort of our baby making history.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
It's a difficult subject for me because there were times throughout where I let a lot of fear kind of having a child, because as it was, you again, like, you were the only person that I could ever truly consider that with and understand the motivation to want to have something that's just like half you, half me. Not afraid, but a little kind of sad to admit that, you know, it was a lot of my apprehension when it was prevalent was just due to the overall fear. And I think a lot of the time when we were trying, I was simultaneously dealing with a lot of my frustrations with our already existing child.
Right.
And, you know, that was something that at times it would deter me, because as great as a baby can be and is for so many people, and I know it can bring a lot of joy, I was too caught up with the difficulties of parenting as it was, and I was just and still am just so concerned that I couldn't be a good father or parent in general to a baby, because I didn't feel like I was doing a good job as it was. I think I've since progressed on that front, but you know, I worry about the idea of bringing another child in this world, because I feel like there are times where I can barely sort of like do a good job as everything is now. I try to shed behavior ruled by fear, but it's still a part of me. And I say fear, it's not just being afraid, it's just a worry that you can't provide in the way that you'd want to. I carry around anxieties about little things. I can really sort of let my mind run off with things that are you know, kind of like minuscule in the grand scheme. So just bringing another life is something where it is a beautiful thing, but it's daunting to me. And you know, I don't always... not always as optimistic as I'd like to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurts because...
This is probably by far. And if you guys ever wondered like, oh, maybe the stuff they talk about isn't, you know, so personal to them, this is probably the closest issue to my heart. This is probably the thing that we are most sensitive about. It's the thing I get very emotional about.
Yeah.
Marcus gets emotional about, just because there are so many, it's very conflicting in many ways. Like, there's part of me that's a scaredy cat, and there's part of me that's extremely scared of being pregnant because of the aftermath and the birth and all of that and what may go wrong, and especially because I'm older and it would be a geriatric pregnancy, like what risk could it pose to the baby? You know, will our relationship change during pregnancy? So I have all these worries too, but at the same way, there is that pull towards having or creating life with the person that I love the most that still draws me to that idea. And another part of that is sort of having something that carries on that love, because, you know, we're together now and we're raising, you know, a child, but he's already 9 years old. Yeah. And, you know, there will soon come a time where we will not be raising a child. And, you know, while Marcus is here now and he's parenting and he's doing an amazing job, like, I feel like he would have missed out on the opportunity to live all the amazingness that is, like, the baby part of, you know, the baby and the toddler years, and, like, how much fun that is, and, like, the amazing feeling when your baby calls you dada for the first time, and, like, the way they smell, and just, like, all the...
I do hear babies smell really good.
They smell amazing, and all the amazing things, like, I don't... And there's an insecurity in me, and I feel really bad, like... If one day he does want that, like, what if I can't give it to you? And that makes me feel awful, you know, because I experienced all of that. Like, I had that joy. Like, I will always have that, you know. And if one day you decide, shit, I want that too, I don't want to feel like I robbed you of that, because mm-hmm. I don't know if my body has given up. I don't know if my body's like, nope, not for me. Right. Moving on.
I think that if... You know, I'm not, I don't, you can't ever really know, but that would never be your fault. You know that. It's never something.
I know. That I know blame it's on not, you but I blame myself. Like, there's, like, you know, there's this thing, and not a lot of women have a maternal instinct. Some women don't. I happen to have it.
You definitely
and,
do.
And it makes me feel at times less than, because I can't do this thing, or I couldn't do this thing that I tried to do. Even though I know rationally it's not my fault, there's nothing I can do about it, emotionally mm-hmm. it's a very different thing. Well,
I can definitely relate to the idea of being guilty about something you can't control or isn't your fault. And yeah. So that's, I can definitely
empathize. And I've tried... I don't know if anyone knows that. I don't know if we've talked about, like, weight and stuff like that. But I had almost 2 years ago, I had a sleeve gastrectomy, which is weight loss surgery, and lost about 150 pounds. And my doctor always told me with PCOS, if you lose weight, issues like infertility will be resolved. So I always had in the back of my head,
might be a result of that. Is that what you're saying?
That
infertility could be a result of the...
No, infertility, that losing all the weight would remedy infertility.
Oh, would remedy. Oh, okay.
Yes. I'm sorry if I said that wrong.
No, you said it right. I thought it was the other way around.
Yeah, that weight loss could remedy infertility in women with PCOS. So... while I was overweight, I didn't really care, because I was like, well, I'm not trying to have babies with anyone. And I was sort of really happy after I met you. And I was like, damn, I'm really happy I did this, because now I lost all this weight. So now, you know, maybe it will be easier to get pregnant. It has not been. We have actively tried for as long as we've been together.
Yeah.
Now I have a question. And clearly you have fears and insecurities and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because I'm sure somebody in their mind listening to this would ask, well, why are they still boning? Why is he still not using protection? Why do you still...
I think...
Because you roll the dice every time.
Yeah,
because
we
don't know what you we know don't what know.
It's going to sound a little crazy, but to me, it's like there are things in life where I almost feel more comfortable, like... if they just happen, like if I remove the idea of actively trying,
right,
and if something just happens, I can almost accept it more, because it just happens. And I can let go of the fear of something because it's like...
So you're saying if tomorrow...
Yeah.
You came home from work or whenever and I had a pregnancy test and it was positive.
Yeah.
And I went to the doctor and I bring you the printout and I'm like, here you go.
Yeah.
You did it. You're telling me that your fear would be gone?
No, absolutely not. I'm just saying I'm it's the idea of not I know this shit sounds crazy. It's just the idea of not actually trying, of not trying scares me less than trying, even though the result could be the same. But, I don't know. It doesn't make sense. I just feel like if I'm not trying and it's not happening, then it, you know, if it's purposeful, I feel like if it's purposeful, I mean, even though it has no bearing, like what my intent
right.
versus the physicality of what's happening, the intent has no bearing over what is physically happening. It's something that I kind of resolve in my mind where like, okay, if I'm not trying, then it's not happening because I'm not trying.
Because the thing is, nothing, literally nothing changed between the time we were trying and when we're now, I'm doing air quotes, not trying.
Yeah.
Like nothing changed.
Well, except for the fertility.
Right. Medication. Well, right. With the exception of fertility. But,
yeah.
You know, nothing has changed in terms of frequency or veracity or any of that.
Yeah.
So like,
I'm just weird like that. There's no explanation. There's no logical explanation.
But how will you reconcile that? Because here's my thing.
Yeah.
I really feel, I sort of put this to bed and I'm like, I love you. I mm-hmm. love our family. And I'm not going to do that thing that I used to do or that a lot of people do, where it's living in the future. I'm going to enjoy right now. Yeah. Like, I love right now. I love where we are. I love, you know, the fact that we have a 9-year-old that gives us a little more room to travel and to do things. Like, yeah. I like that. And I'm living in that moment.
Yeah.
So,
because we couldn't have all that.
Not with no babies. Not with no infants. I mean, some crazy people do, but... It's not me.
It's not me.
So while emotionally it might be a little sad, like I really try not to dwell on that. Like I sort of made my peace with that. And I'm like, whatever happens, happens. I'm enjoying now. But I think about those are the circumstances when you've just sort of left it alone that like one day it's like, oh shit.
Yeah.
But and for that, how are you prepared emotionally for that? Because I know you're saying, okay, mentally, if I just let it happen. But what if it really happens?
I can't say. It's literally something I can't, like, fully intelligently speak on until it does.
Because my fear is that one day it'll happen and I'll tell you and you will literally run screaming.
Yeah, but I'll come right back. I just need to take a lap.
I don't want you to run screaming.
No, but I'll come right back is what I'm saying. You're not hearing the important part. I'm coming right back.
No.
I'm coming right back. I don't, but like I said, it's not logical. It's just that it's all, like, I feel more comfortable leaving it up to fate as opposed to actively trying. Granted, actively trying and just us having sex, there's not much of a difference outside of the medication.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. This is something that we haven't really, I mean, we've talked about this in a lot of different ways. We haven't really been this sort of calmly analytical about it. Right. So now we're having a discussion on this level about this.
Very emotional.
Yeah, and that we can, emotions are always going to be involved in this. This is something that is very close to both of our hearts, but this is the first time that we're kind of discussing it in a more analytical sense. And there are things that I haven't had to properly really ever elocute. So I will need to think on it a little more. But in the meantime, what I can say unequivocally is that there isn't much logic to where my head is at with it. All that I do know is I would be afraid regardless because I'm like this neurotic person. But if there's ever anyone that I would feel comfortable enough to be like, we're having this baby and this is going to be like the partnership, like test of a lifetime. And this is like, this is everything. Like it would be you, like there is nobody else. Like it would have to be
right. Like there's nobody else
because there's nobody else that can.
So now let me ask you a question.
Okay.
We've actively tried
mm-hmm.
and we've left it in God's hand, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But what if I get the bug again and I really want to try? And I mean really try. Like, I want to do IVF. I want to get a surrogate. Like, I want to go yard.
Here's the thing.
Like, this, and these are absolutely...
I'm going to be very honest. Yes. About, because a lot of my apprehension, and we've talked about this in other episodes, is my neurosis and anxiety about finance stuff. And I would be lying.
Hold a moment. Okay. So here's the thing. So under now, when I talk about IVF and I talk about surrogacy,
mm-hmm.
in my mind,
yeah.
it's under a particular circumstance.
Yes.
It's under a particular yes. financial circumstance. Yes. So if we're, and I think you know what I'm referring to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if we're in that financial circumstance, yeah. and I get the bug and I know that I can pay for this.
Huge weight lifted off, because that's my thing. A huge part of my apprehension is because I want to be, it's like, I can equate it to like being the best parent to our little guy. Sort of the best way to do that is to just be the best possible husband to you.
Absolutely.
How do I be the best possible husband? Be the best, happiest version of myself. How Absolutely. Do I do that? Eliminate neuroses and anxiety where is it necessary.
Absolutely.
Recognize the things that are valid, but understand how to deal with them. And for me, that's sort of the same thing. My biggest neuroses and anxiety about having a child is not being able to, you know, afford it, essentially. When I'm able to afford things, or at least manage things from a responsible financial standpoint, that for me... I hate it about myself, but that's just who I am. If I can manage that part, it's a huge weight lifted. So what I was going to go on to say, if we're in a position
mm-hmm.
where IVF is an option or surrogacy is an option, that sort of thing, then by default, we're in a position where it's okay to do that. I hate it because I don't want to boil down sort of because they, not that having a baby is the measure of one's love.
Right, absolutely.
But it is a byproduct of an intense love, and I don't want to equate, well, my intensity of love for you is much as I can afford.
Intentional children are, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I figured that was obvious, but let me just say, I'm sure everyone knows someone who's a baby that wasn't, you know, the byproduct of, you know, outstanding love. What all I'm saying is that if we were in a position where finances weren't in the forefront, I mean, for me, that I might have $20 million in the bank and still have my anxieties. At least I know if I could live, I just worry about not being able to live comfortably. I don't want to have, like, the only struggles I want to have is the learning how to swaddle a baby and do diapers and just take care of you. That's another thing, because it's like there are times where if I want to put this appropriately and delicately, when hormones mm-hmm. are taking over.
If I'm being a crazy bitch.
You said those words.
Right.
I feel like I deal with it pretty well. But there are times
you deal with it really well.
There are times where it's like, oh my God, scary. And I can only imagine.
Oh my God, it's scary.
Sometimes it's scary. Oh yeah. Like there, because I know that it's there are hormones taking over, and there are things where you wouldn't normally even pay attention to. And if I'm like, move my hand here, like, yo, you know, it's just like you could get snapped at. And I know it's the emotions, it's not you, it's the hormones and stuff. So, you know, that's another thing I think about. Like I want to be in the best possible place that I can be, so that I can really put everything aside and really focus
now here's the thing.
On you and taking care of you. Here's
the thing. We may be in a position sooner than later.
Yeah.
Where this will be achievable.
Yeah.
If that happens, because you're saying that, but it's one thing saying it and doing it, because
I'm still going to be scared, but I'm not going to be...
I'm scared. Yeah. Like, fear is not...
Yeah.
Having babies is very scary. Like, raising children is very scary. So I'm not saying that. I'm saying right now it's not doable, mm-hmm. but it may be very soon.
Yeah.
And when it's doable, I just hope that you're on board, because once it's doable, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whether I got to pin you down... Whether I
might have to pin me down a little bit. We'll see.
Whatever.
I kind of like it though.
I mean, my choice would be surrogacy at this point.
Right. Takes a lot of the stress out of it. But and it's surrogacy.
Surrogacy is my egg,
so your sperm. It's biologically our child. Our it just child grows up for a little bit of time in for a different 9 months. Lady.
It bakes in a different oven. Gotcha. Right.
But it's genetically like is the baby like genetically related in any way to the surrogate? Like, nope. They don't have the same like DNA or blood or anything like that. They're literally. It's just a bread in a different oven, a little nugget. Okay, yeah. I mean, listen, I'm not gonna like. I would still be fearful, but there in a lot of the ways, I just want to be able to afford a good life for you and
to
me
give you
and,
peace.
Yeah,
it's to give you some peace. I don't know if we've discussed this at all, but remember, you came on the scene at 8 years old. So for 8 of those years, I raised the child completely by myself.
Yeah.
And I've never been rich,
mm-hmm.
but I did it, and I did it, and did amazing Christmases. That's never true. Missed
well,
a birthday.
You're like this incredible, like you're like a superwoman, and I don't always feel like a Superman.
Thank
you're
you.
Definitely,
but
a
you are a Superman, and I think that our forces combined,
yeah,
you know,
probably.
Because I mean, really think about it. Like I had different jobs at different times. I took care of my son. I've kept. Paid rent, kept a roof over our heads, always fed him, paid for daycare when I needed to, always kept him clothed, fresh, stylish, did things with him. Like, it's not like he missed out on any opportunities or I had to skimp on stuff. Everything he ever wanted, you know, like I said, Christmases, birthdays, everything was done. And I was by myself. So, you know.
We could probably pull it off.
Right. So, I don't want you to carry, like, you don't need $20 million to raise a child and even raise a child well.
Yeah.
Now, granted, could I have, I would prefer to, like, have Nolan in private school all the time. So, like, for things like that, like, for expenses like that, I wish I had that money, but he doesn't go to private school and he does really well. So, you know, it's, he could do better.
I'm constantly overestimating what life requires to do these things.
And I mean, I know that your childhood, you spent skiing in Aspen and traveling to the Caribbean and Europe and being very, very
fancy. First of all, I snowboard. I don't ski. Majority of my childhood, I didn't even know how to do snowboarding
in Aspen. So you were very fancy.
I've been to Aspen 2 times and they were both... One is it? I get
you. Anyways, you were very fancy.
Yeah.
So I understand where, you know, and your parents moved from one affluent neighborhood to another affluent neighborhood. And the first affluent neighborhood was like, boo, this is not fancy.
They never
for us.
Booed. They needed a bigger place. My bedroom was a closet. And we lived in a studio apartment.
Anyways.
On the Upper East Side, mind you. That was an Upper East Side closet.
Right. And
yeah, I know there are definitely parts of me that feel like I couldn't give my child the same life that my parents did me. And that
but
makes
you
me
know
feel
what?
Like a failure right
But a
back.
Lot of people can't give their children that life.
A lot of people can't.
But it doesn't mean...
That I can't be a good parent. Too.
And that your child can't have a really happy, healthy childhood.
Yeah. The other thing that sort of really, really kind of like made me think like, damn, I could definitely have it, is like you are the only person ever when I've hypothesized that has not only made me think about but actually wanted a girl. Because always growing up, even in the loosest hypotheses, I'm like, always one boy, which plays into it because I'm like, well, we have one boy. So that's sort of like, so I'm like, well, I've got it, but I still have this sort of like, and then it was one day we were in a, what's the?
Don't you say my names. Don't you let loose my baby names.
No. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying we were in a burger.
We were in a
Smash.
Burger joint. No, BRG or something like that.
It was some whack shit. It wasn't even that great. But anyway, we were sitting there. We got our burgers. And we looked across. There was like, I think it was like a little birthday party. There was a balloon and children. One balloon. So I don't know if it was a birthday party or not. It was a bunch of little girls. And we saw this one girl and we're like, holy shit. Like that's what our child
was like
would look
this
like.
Gorgeous, like not mocha skin, but like.
Just like a light-skinned little Latina girl, and she had kind of like
curly,
like you have very
brownish.
Dark hair. I have like medium lightish hair, and it was kind of like wavy, not good. Like. And I'm like, that little girl is exactly I feel like is, and that sort of. And I was like, holy shit! And something clicked at that moment. I'm like, I want a girl now. Like I've always I'm like, a boy, it's easier. Like, you just, I'm a guy, so I'm like, there. But, and then I thought about it. And it's funny, too, because even before any of this was, like, this was the first time in my life where this was, like, a legitimate discussion to be had. People would tell me, and I'd have to imagine it was, like, the majority, if not all of, like, female friends telling me this, but people have always told me that, like, I would be a good dad to a girl. Not that I wouldn't be a good dad in general, but, like,
I think you would be a very good dad to a girl, because I can see you, like, you're very sensitive, and I can see you, like, giving her the right balance of sensitivity and masculinity. Like, I can see you doing tea time with her and taking her out on dates and showing her, like, pulling out the chair for her and showing her how a lady should be treated. But I can see you, like, crying over something super cute and not being ashamed to cry in front of her and showing her that. And, you know, pretend threatening if she dated boys. Right.
Well, I would do... See, here's the thing. They would be maybe pretend threats, but they would be backed by your actual... You would have to come in and beat people up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But so I can see... I think you have that really good balance to be a parent for a girl.
Yeah. It's funny because it's like... I mean, I can only imagine, but based on what you describe, what I've seen, what other people... Like, there's so much, like, beauty and joy in, like, when they're little, just like little wobbly potato babies. But, like, there's also this other part of me wish I could just snap my fingers and have, like, this, like, cute little, like, 8-9-year-old, like, tomboy girl who, like, wears, like, little dresses, but, like, with Doc Martin boots. And it's, you know, just, you know what I mean? Like, but I guess, you know, that's part of the joy is.
But, and you know, I want to say to anyone who is expecting their first baby or.
Congratulations.
You know, congratulations, right. Or if you don't have children and you've thought about it and maybe one day you'll have the children. I can't stress enough, when your children are babies, enjoy it. Enjoy every part of it, because you're so crazed and so nervous that something is going to go wrong and so tired that you just want the next milestone. You're just worried for your baby to meet the next milestone to make sure that they're okay. And by the time they're one, you've missed it. Like, you miss it. And you're like, fuck. And you can't get it back. And it goes by. So my only parenting advice, I won't try to give you too much, but my only parenting advice is enjoy your baby. Enjoy them, smell them, sniff them, play with their little toes and their little hands and kiss them all over and feel their tummies. Just enjoy them. Because it goes by so, so incredibly fast. And then you'll have a 9-year-old that's like, Mom, you're embarrassing me. So enjoy your babies. Enjoy when they're toddlers. Don't yell at them for spilling stuff. Don't reprimand them. Remember, their world is new and they're just learning everything. Just enjoy it. Enjoy the beauty in it. Enjoy how cute they are. Enjoy their happiness. Yeah, because it goes by super, super, super fast. So that's my parenting advice.
And that's babies.
That's
how we feel about babies.
That's how we feel about babies. And I know for the 50 million times that we get asked the question of when are we going to have babies, I guess the answer is...
We'll see.
We'll see whenever it happens.
But we didn't get married because we already had a baby, because some people thought that, and that was obviously not the case, as we've had one already.
Yes.
People get married sometimes just because they love each other.
Weird. Yeah, there wasn't a, what is that called, a shotgun wedding?
Shotgun wedding.
Yeah, that wasn't what this was. So yeah, but the day that it happens,
we're not going to say shit. It'll be a beautiful little surprise for you bitches 9 months later. Mind your business.
But anyway, if you have any questions, comments, or feedback on this or any of our episodes, if you want to just talk to us, if you want to share some of your experiences, we're happy to hear it all. If you want to curse us out for something we said, whatever you want, we accept it all. And you can do that at our email address at whathappensafterido@gmail.com.
Or you can hit up our Instagram, which is at What Happens After I Do on the Instagram app, available in Android and Apple Store for download. And with that, we love you all. We thank you so much.
Thank you for your support.
Thank you for everyone that has reached out to either myself and Erica. we've had people tell us that it is helpful, that they are happy to see that sort of we go through and experience some of the things that they do. And, you know, again, we it's accolades, it's compliments, it's sort of just camaraderie.
Every single one.
It really, really, I cannot express how awesome it is to hear that, because I don't necessarily consider myself this sort of like beacon of like marriage counseling. We haven't even been married that long, but for anyone that's getting something out of it, we really, really, really love to hear about it. It means the world to myself and Erica. So thank you so much, guys.
Thank you. And thank you for sticking with us.
If you made it to this point.
And
we love you.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. And this particular episode is very near and dear and close to our hearts. So we appreciate you listening and knowing that it took a lot for us to do this one. But I feel better for it. So thank you. I'm glad that we have this platform and that you guys are out there listening so that we can continue to have this platform. You guys are amazing. We love you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.